I may not do that because we have sinful nature, because we have impulse. If we do not have any restraint, we may also do certain things that we cannot imagine ourselves doing. But if we think carefully, since young, we have certain areas of bondages. For example, since young, we have to go to school. 5, 6 years old, we have to go to kindergarten, and then after that, primary school, and then secondary school, and so on. And after studying, after graduation, maybe we are about in our teens or 20 years old. So along the journey, we have certain restraints and restrictions. And after graduation, we have to find a job. But can you just say that when you have a job, if you are not in a good mood, then you just skip your work or you ignore the regulations at work? Of course, if you say you have leave, and if you have you are not in the good mood, you can take leave. But leave only has a certain limit, so you cannot take leave all the days. So all these things allow us to see that since young we have certain restrictions. And for the guys, about 18 years old, we have to serve our national service, and so all these things are areas in which we are being restricted. So if you really want freedom, if you pursue freedom, if it's physical freedom, then maybe many of us may not want to choose to be married. Because when you're single, you can do anything you're pleased. You can go home anytime you like. You can eat anything you like. You can buy anything you like. But after getting married, you have to consider your spouse. After work, you cannot anyhow go out with your colleagues or watch a movie or have fun. So if you have children, and if the children are young, you have to think twice about what you do. So since young, we have all kinds of limitations and restrictions. But we must know that not all limitations are bad. Because if we are not restrained in any way, then little children, now you can ask, which young children will go happily to school? So some schools, they allow the parents to attend school with their children. Or for the first 2 days, the children are only allowed, only required to attend half a day of school. But without restraint, the children may not want to go to school. So to a certain extent, restrictions and restraints are necessary. But we humans, we are limited. So what is important, what matters most, is we must not be bound by sin. Because today, we will read that Jesus wants to give us freedom. But that freedom is meant to help us tackle the problem of sin. Because we must not be bound by sin. So John chapter 8, verse 34 says that those who have sin are slaves to sin. Now we know slaves cannot do what they are pleased with. Slaves cannot live as they please. So we must not become slaves to sin. So we can learn from Paul, the example that Paul set for us. So if you are familiar with Paul, you know that after he truly understood the gospel, he's being restrained, and sometimes he's in prison or he's under house arrest, but he's not dejected because of losing physical freedom. But in his situation, he can still write epistles to strengthen many believers and churches. And we know that although human may be restricted in their physical freedom, but God's work will continue. So we must understand the reason for our living today. We are not pursuing the freedom that the world gives us, but we must receive the spiritual freedom, because this physical freedom may not bring us good consequences if our sinful nature is not being tackled. So we must know the truth and receive the freedom that comes from the truth. So John chapter 8, verse 31. So today we talk about John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So this verse 32 is our theme. So it talks about knowing the truth, which is very important. So we must know, what is knowing the truth? We know that the truth, simply put, is God's word. Because only God's word, and God is using his word to create the whole world with everything in it. So a lot of people and historical events are recorded in the Bible, and when we open God's word to read, we'll be surprised. Why? So God is using his word. God used his words to create heaven and earth. And God used his words to reveal his loving kindness, his righteousness, his power, his glory, his authority, his grace, and everything. And God uses his words to speak to us. And so from Adam and Eve, all the way to the New Testament account, many people in the Bible, many events in the Bible, sometimes it reveals the failings of Israel. And sometimes we saw how Israel's, when they obeyed God and they prospered and they received the grace of God, everything that happened in history are meant as lessons for us today. So we have to think carefully. When God used thousands of years and he recorded this grace and these accounts for us so that today we can receive wisdom from them, this is such a great mystery. We are not just reading a novel, and this is not a story made up by human mind, but in this Bible, it's full of God's revelation and God's guidance. It's recorded in God's word. And when we receive this, we will have this spiritual freedom. And in the responsive reading, we also read this very familiar verse, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the truth, the way, and the life. If it's not through me, no one can reach the Father." And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So if you ask, what is the truth? Simply put, it refers to God's word. It also refers to Lord Jesus Christ himself. But we read just now, if you obey my word, you are indeed my disciples. So if we want to know the truth, it's related to becoming a disciple of the Lord. If we want to know God's truth and word more, then we must be willing to become a disciple of the Lord. And so what is meant by being a disciple of the Lord? What is meant by knowing the truth? From another angle, some people since young, they love to study. They like to study many religious literature. So they are not just interested in Christianity. They also study Buddhism, Taoism, and other religions. Perhaps their understanding of the Bible may be better than many of us because they have studied the entire account of the Bible. But yet, they know the truth of the Lord, but yet they are not guided by the Word of God. They didn't surrender their life to the Word of God. So the Bible and God's Word to that person is merely another book. But the whole Word of God has all its richness and abundant grace. When we see that and we are willing to surrender under the authority of God, that will bring us great power. But if we merely treat this Bible and God's words as a reference book, another book for another religion, then this book will not serve much purpose for us. And that's why certain people think that all religions are the same because it teaches us to do good. That's because they didn't surrender their life to the authority of God. In other words, they are not moved by God's word and they are not yet a disciple of the Lord. So what is meant by being a disciple of the Lord? What is meant by following Jesus and being his disciple? In the scriptures that we read just now, John chapter 8, if we understand its background, Jesus back then was speaking to a group of Jews. Among them are also Pharisees and scribes who knew the Bible. But to them, although they were very familiar with the Old Testament, like the books of Moses, and Pharisees were the teachers back then. They were very familiar with the scriptures, but yet they did not realize that the whole scriptures was pointing to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was the central figure of the whole scriptures. On the contrary, Lord Jesus also told his disciples. So, a disciple is like a student. As a student, generally, students will not doubt their teacher. A kindergarten child, they have very simple thinking and they will believe whatever the teacher tells him. And sometimes our children listen to the teachers more than the parents. Parents ask them to do their homework, they ignore the parents, but the teachers ask them to do homework. They are very scared and so they make sure to finish their homework. So some of us here, we experienced before, we respect our teachers more than our parents even. Because we treated the teachers as someone who is wise, who teaches us, and so we will not doubt the teacher. And also the disciples saw that Lord Jesus have performed many miracles, so they will want to apply what Jesus has taught them. Now if we read the Bible, we also read that the Lord Jesus taught the disciples, saying that if you love one another, people will recognize that you are my disciples. This was one of the many teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that you must love one another, and when you love one another, people will know that you are my disciples. So this tells us that as a disciple of Christ, as a student of Christ, we must live out the teachings of the Lord. And besides loving each other, there's also other teachings of the Lord. So we must know how to imitate Christ and have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So we must live by the will of the Lord. So the disciples of the Lord will be willing to carry their own cross. So many Christians, when they come before God, how many of them are willing to carry their cross and deny themselves? If not, they are not true disciples of Christ. So when we encounter problems, the disciples will call upon Jesus to save him. So today, when we encounter problems, did we first think about asking Jesus to help us, or did we first think about using our own means to solve our own problems? So, there's a difference between knowing the truth and obeying the truth. If you merely know the truth, but you are not surrendering to the truth, you didn't live out the truth, that's like the Pharisees. So of course, they kept many commands and decrees of the Lord, but there's no transformation in their life. So maybe they want to keep the commands of God, but they brought their own motive. They want to do it before men. They want to receive the approval of men. They want men's praises. They want to have authority before men. They want to hold power in the council. So Pharisees, their rabbi, some people, they want to have good repute among people. And so they just want to get people's approval. So if we think about Paul's example, now he was Saul before that, and he was very zealous for the Lord. But in the end, he persecuted the church until on the road to Damascus, God asked him, "Why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting the people whom I love?" And when Paul's spiritual eyes were opened, then his spiritual life is completely transformed. So there's a difference between knowing the truth and obeying the truth. In the responsive reading, we read that you believe there is one God. You are right. The devil believed that also, but the demons, they tremble because of this. Now, even Satan spoke with God personally before, and he belonged to the spiritual realm. But Satan totally opposes God. So if we merely know the truth, but we didn't obey God's truth, then our life will have no transformation. So we need to ponder, is there any transformation in our life that comes from knowing the truth? If not, then the truth that we know will not bring us spiritual freedom. It may even bind us in other areas. So we have to think whether there's any transformation in our life. Have your values, your life perspective, your values about money, history, raising your children, doing business, setting up family, have all these things changed? Have all this changed because God has loved you and won you over so that you understood that your earthly life, 70 to 80 years on earth, is just temporary, and we need to desire and yearn for our heavenly kingdom. If that's the case, then today we will not care so much about earthly pleasures today. So we have to possess the true freedom in the Lord. So second point I want to talk about, we are being set free in the Lord Jesus. So we need to think through, what exactly is man bound by? Now we want to receive freedom, but before you get that freedom, you must think about, what are you being bound by? So just now I mentioned, in the beginning, I mentioned a few examples. Since young, we have been bound and restrained. But we have to think deeper. Besides all those external circumstances, what else are we being bound by? So I listed a few examples. Are you bound by your own past? What do I mean by the past? For example, your past failures or the opportunities that you have lost, or the loved one or relationship that you have lost, and because of that, you are always grieving. You always felt a void there. Or in another example, we always teach about the roles of husband and wives. The wives must submit their husbands, and the husbands must love their wives. Maybe before you know the Lord, you are very strong. Everything you say, you have to have your way, whether it's in the family or at work. But that is before you are a Christian. But after that, when the Bible taught us that the wife must submit to the husband. So you struggle and you think about how to obey the husband, you know. The husband is incapable, lazy, didn't earn much. And the husband keeps relying on me. How can I submit to this husband? So every time when she hears the word of God, so you may, she may think that, no, just wait for God to change my husband until he's better, then I can submit to him. Of course, that's not the case. So that's about the wife. Same thing for the husband. The husbands are told to love the wives as himself. Before you know the truth, maybe you are a bit chauvinistic. You want to have your way. Maybe in the office, you are a manager and many people have to listen to you. So when you're back home, you expect the wife and the children to listen to you. But after knowing the word of God, telling you to love your wife, to sacrifice for her, to lead her, then you start to struggle. You know, I used to have my way. Now I have to lead her. I have to explain to her. So, you know, I have to explain to her. No, I like to eat steak, but she likes to eat Japanese dinner. So, you start to struggle. Does loving my wife means I have to give in to her? Then slowly, you start to think that, you know, you can believe everything about God's word, but except for one area. You know, in this area that God tells you to love your wife, you think God can forgive you? So, sometimes, we are bound by such thoughts. We are also bound by our past failures or some other examples. Sometimes in the course of their growing up, from young, their family living is not such a perfect background, or maybe they are poor, or they have suffered much when they were young. Or some people, they were bullied when they were young in school. So they had this hint that they may be looked down by people. Or some people, when they were young, they have done certain wrong things and they live in guilt ever since. And so we have been through certain miserable past. So I mentioned before, you know, some people, when we talk about love, people feedback that since young, they have never tasted love in their family. Maybe they have grown up in someone else's family and they do not know what is love. So every time when the pulpit talk about love, they very struggle because they never tasted being loved. So how to love? So when they hear about God's love, they are not, instead of feeling thankful, they feel very miserable. So these are certain bondages that our past has given us. Of course, God's word lead us back to God. But without God's word, you will turn to psychologist and positive thinking. You will find a way out through this. And they will dig out every sins of their past to confess their sins. But only God tells us, you must know the truth. And the truth will give you freedom and set you free. So no matter how you failed in the past or how miserable you have been in the past, but you must know the truth and the truth will set you free. And second, what binds us? You think about it. Are you bound by your own ideals, ego, or your faith? All this can also become your bondages. Some people, they have a lot of ideals. So they move toward that direction. So maybe like 40 years old, I must earn my first million. By what age, I must have a happy family and so on. They have their own ideals. But who knows? When they are at age 30, they didn't even have a spouse. Maybe he thought that by age 35, he wants to be a father of three, but by age 30, he's without a spouse even. So he moved his goalposts and said, "But okay, maybe by age 38 or by age 40. So they have their own ideals. They have their own dreams that they want to achieve. But by age 40, they may be still single. Or maybe some people, they want to earn their first million at age 50, but at age 40, they are still far away from that target. So sometimes we are bound by our own ideals. And when we cannot achieve that, our life will be shattered. And some people say, how about ego? You know, they feel very happy when people praise them and regard them highly. But some people, if they ignore me in church, didn't respect me, then he will feel upset. So that is a kind of bondage. So although he knows that God wants us to love, but he just cannot overcome that. So when you see that person who didn't respect you, you feel affected. When he didn't talk to you, you feel upset. Even in your dream, you see that person as a nightmare. But at some times, we are bound by our own ego and faith. So humans, should we have this pride? Dignity. We should have our sense of dignity because we are being created in the image of God. Our bodily structure, although we may not be very beautiful outwardly, but we are still created in the image of God. Now, people, when they respect me, not because of my good conditions and qualities, not because of my I'm handsome or I talk well. Now, some people, they can even love little cats and dogs. Why can't love a human being? But back to the point, if I place other people's praise of my image as the first place, then my ego will, that means I'm being bound by my ego. Of course, we know that we must respect another person because he is also created by God. Because he can think, he can talk, he can move. That is also in the image of God. But we must not treat that as the only thing. Like if someone didn't respect us, then we don't like that person. We cannot do that. So we must self-reflect. We must not seek human glory, but seek the glory of God. And third, we need to ask, are we bound by sins? Let's read today's scripture again. John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So these Jews included those who did not know God, like the Jewish leaders, or those who have yet to surrender their lives to God. So they are concerned about material things and carnal things. And so they replied, Jesus. So they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone." This is not right. Because in Egypt, they had been slaves. And when they are under captivity, they have been slaves or captives in Babylon. But in their ideas, they've forgotten that part of the history. They just remember that they were descendants of Abraham, chosen by God. So they are only concerned about carnal things. And so they ask, "How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." So Jesus' concern is on sin. And now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but the son belongs to it forever. So there is complete difference between the identity of a slave and that of a son. Now, if today we are a slave to sin, then we have no relation with the eternal kingdom. But yet the Son can go into this kingdom. So verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So our Lord Jesus emphasized that we must not be a slave to sin. So what kind of freedom does Lord Jesus give? Now, being bound by sin is very scary. If we are bound by other things, maybe there's other solutions. Maybe you are greedy over money. If God convicts you, one day you will stop being greedy. Or if something suddenly happened, you will not hold so tightly to your ego. But yet, if your sin binds you, or if the devil controls your heart so that you become slave to sin, that is very scary. Because you know that the devil will never let go of his hand. He already holds you. If Jesus didn't save us, the devil already holds you. If he asks you to sin, there's no way you can reject sinning. But what we want to thank God for is Lord Jesus, he set us free. And only Jesus can set us free from the bondage of sin. Only Jesus can save us. So we must understand what exactly is the freedom given by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people, they talk about we need financial freedom. You don't worry about debts and loans. God wants to bless you and treat you well. Now, when God talk about freedom, it's not that kind of freedom. Of course, God can do that if He wants. But what God wants is to set you free from sin. So if we are truly free, that means Satan can no longer control us. And I believe this is what we wanted. Satan will no longer control us. You must cling on to this truth that Satan can no longer control you. But when we are not controlled by the devil, it doesn't mean that we will stop sinning. We will still sin. Maybe after getting out of this church, or even while queuing for a toilet, you may be sinning already. Or maybe later, you just drive out from the car park and people didn't give way for you, you will start to sin. Because humans, we are weak. But what is important is Satan is no longer our master. He can give us a lot of insinuations and give us a lot of discontentment in our hearts. Give us temptations. And for what? It's so that we should obey God. The devil wants us not to obey God, not to follow God, but yet we will not be condemned and controlled by the devil. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Now, there's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ. Although we still have sin, so does it mean that if we are no longer under condemnation, does it mean that we can still continue to sin carelessly? Of course not. Later I'll explain more. Although we are free, then why can't we live as we please now that there's no more condemnation? So we are no longer condemned, but that doesn't mean that we have the freedom to do anything. And Romans also tell us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, when you read the responsive reading also, it tells us that we are no longer condemned. And it also tells us that nothing will separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus' love is on us. And through it, we can grow. We can enjoy God's presence. So we must know this. So those who are no longer under condemnation, they will surely be able to enjoy the presence of God and the love of God. Now we have to read another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. It says that everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. So it says that we can do anything, but not everything is beneficial for me. But whether we do something, we are not bound by that thing. It's not as if we must do or must not do that thing. Another verse. So, we know that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. So, we know that not everything can build people up. And what has this got to do with our freedom? Now we have to ponder. Today we are the children of God. We are no longer condemned. We can enjoy the presence and the love of God. In fact, we are free to do anything. We can eat or don't eat anything. We can say or don't say certain things. And God no longer condemns us, and God still loves us. But the thing is, but when we have the choice, we are people of freedom and we can choose. We can choose to love or not love. We can choose to speak or not speak. So we need to have the self-control in my life, and that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Those who don't know the truth, they'll be bound. When they didn't do certain things, they'll be full of accusation. But we have the freedom to do certain things. And we must choose what can build people up and bless people. So when we think about people, we have to make our choice appropriately. So from that perspective, we have the choice, we have the freedom. Some practical examples. Now we are still in the Chinese New Year period. Some superstitious people during this period, now you cannot sweep the floor. Because they think that you are sweeping away the good luck. Maybe this is the thinking of our older generation. I know. Of course, some people will think that we are not sweeping, we are doing vacuum. Of course, we can also argue, when you sweep, you can sweep away the bad luck. Why only the good luck? But if you have the Word of God, if there are certain elderly in your family who are still superstitious, my freedom tells me I don't have to argue with them. If they want to, if they don't want to sweep, then leave it to them. You know, I'm free, so I don't have to argue with them. Because it's no big deal. Because we know that our blessings all come from God. We don't have to argue unnecessarily with them. Some people in the presence of pregnant women, they say don't take scissors in case something bad happened to the fetus. So you just don't use scissors. You don't have to argue with them, you know, that there's no scientific foundation. So you don't have to go into unnecessary quarrels that spoil relationship. So we have freedom. We can choose to do or not do. We have to value the relationship. Of course, if some people, they misunderstood our faith, maybe the elderly, what they want us to do may offend God. We must have this principle. We cannot compromise. And we must hold on to the principle. Although we have freedom, Of course, we can say that God will forgive me in whatever I'm doing. So it's okay. But you must understand that you must answer to the Holy Spirit who is convicting you in your heart. If you can choose not to do, you try not to do. Of course, I'm not very fierce or harsh with my parents. But you must be humble, patient, to explain to your family members why you choose to do certain things or not to do certain things. So you patiently explain to the person, "No, I listen to you, and I do this, but it's not beneficial to me. I can make you happy, but I will not make God happy if I obey you." For example, if your mother asks you to do something, or maybe asks you to eat the food offered to idols. So sometimes we hear this kind of question. So if your parents are not yet Christians, I eat. If I eat with a lot of guilt and a lack of peace, then I cannot answer to my God. So can I not eat this? Even if I eat, and I know even after eating, it will not affect me, it will not give me more blessings. So if you explain to the parents, "So can I buy some other food and I eat together with you?" So in that circumstance, you need to seek wisdom and instead of compromise. Because if you have done once, people will think that you can compromise more. Because certain things will repeat every week, every month, every year. And gradually you will lose the heart of caution. Because if you have done once, you will be more careless in future. So you must understand that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. So in summary, we do everything out of love. If you love someone, and you think about your relationship with that person, and you out of love, you do certain things, you say certain things, so we have freedom. So grace enables us to think before we act. So some people, without the truth, they will say that, you know, in the seventh month of the Chinese month calendar, you cannot travel, you cannot move house. So that is a kind of bondage. So the wise Christian will think they may choose the Chinese month of Chinese 7th month to do their renovation because you get the cheapest price. So, but some people will ask you, why do you choose such an inauspicious date to renovate your house? You can just reply and you seize the opportunity to share the gospel with them that, you know, God is the one who blessed me. So we ask God to give us wisdom. So third point. So what are the things we should do after receiving freedom? So that we'll please God. First, we must know that our identity is a child of God. So after receiving freedom, the first thing we must think about is we are a child of God. I assume that everyone here we know God. If you didn't know God yet, we can share more later. But if we are a child of God, then before doing anything, we must come before God to ask for His guidance, how to think, how to act. Because we shared that we have the sinful nature, we have the old self, which is still present in us. If we do not seek God and we let the old self take over, we will make rash decisions. We will say things that offend people. For example, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they were very intimate with God. They can see God and speak to God. And they have seen God. But after they seen, the moment they heard God's footsteps, they hid themselves. So that is the nature of humans after sinning. Although we are already saved Christians, if we do not always communicate with God, then our old self may still stumble us and make us sin. Many a times, we know the evil one is real. 24 hours, he's waiting to devour us. So every day, this evil one will give us a lot of hints and insinuations to make us sin. And when Satan tries to make you sin, he uses things that seems adorable and pleasant to us to tempt us to sin. He usually don't use something you dislike to trick you. He will use things that look good to you. He brought Jesus to a mountain and show him all the glories of the world and tell Jesus to worship him. So Satan always presents attractive things before us. So you understand? So we must understand the schemes of the Satan. He uses good things to tempt our eyes and to tempt us. And so if we are a child of God, we must seek God, we must ask God to help us be set apart and be sanctified. And then 1 Peter told us that you must be holy because God is holy. So we must obey the teachings of our Father God. God is love, and if we are a child of God, we must think also about how to love. So our every move and action must reflect the glory of God. Although we know that God has angels surrounding us and help us in ways we do not expect, but at the same time, the attacks and the slanders of the evil one are also real. He's always trying to destroy us. A very practical example. Now, during the Chinese New Year, when we are with our family members, we are filial to our parents, or we show love to our relatives. Of course, they will appreciate when you are nice to them. If you give them gifts during the Chinese New Year, they will be thankful to you. But soon, they may forget. But they may not have a heart of deep gratitude. But if you have done certain things to offend them, so if your parents ask you to bring them certain place next week, but if you're very busy at work, you say you have no time. But I can call Grab for you. Then the parents may say, I raise you up to be so old, ask you to take leave to accompany me, but you refuse to do that. So they can connect the bad things to your faith. Now, when good things happen, they will not give glory to your Lord. But when you've done bad things, they will accuse you of your faith. You are a Christian, you can give money to church and spend time in the church, but you just don't give it to me. So anything that you have inadequacies, they will connect it to God. But the good things, they will not think about God. Behind this, there's actually the work of the evil one. Because Satan will make us afraid of glorifying God in front of men. And Satan will also make us fall through temptations so that we bring shame to the name of God. So Satan wants to accuse us. So if we recognize that we are a child of God, we must clearly understand our roles and responsibilities. And this is the message that Pastor talked about last week. And last week we talked about we must discern what is best according to the roles and responsibilities that God has given us. So last week we hear that we have different responsibilities and roles. We may be someone's child, and at the same time we may be a parent. We are an employee of someone else, but we may be a supervisor of someone else. We may be a student learning in church, but we may be a teacher at workplace. So we have different roles, and in all these different roles, how can we use what God has given us to bless people we are in contact with? Another example, if a boss in a company, a CEO, last time in my company, the company it has thousands of employees and no one can refute the boss. But today, if we know the God, and you may have a high position, but just now I mentioned, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Then how would you treat your staff, your tone, your perspective, will it be changed? Will there be any difference between you after and before becoming a Christian? Maybe in the past, you were just concerned about making money. Maybe there's a lot of sales personnel under you. You just praise those with good sales targets. And those who are not performing, you just retrench the person. You will not think about understanding his circumstances or his family situations or his current problems. So our roles are very important. But our roles must be connected to God's word. So we need to discern what is best based on the roles that God has given us. But it doesn't mean that you are the boss of a company. It doesn't mean that you have to always serve people. Because you are the boss, you have to be responsible for the whole operation of the company. If you are nice with one person, how would other staff look at you? So you must be fair and just. You must have the wisdom to know how to treat people. So when you do that, your staff will see that you are different. You are not focused on your self-interest, but you are grounded in principles. You punish when necessary. You deduct the pay when necessary. But yet, after this, deducting the pay, you are gracious to him in other ways. So we must know how to face people with a free life. If you do not have a free life, you will just be bound by money and bound by gains and interests. So we need to adjust our perspective. So when we seek wisdom, other than being a boss, say for example, do you need wisdom as a parent? If your children are still young, they may not listen to you. Now my children, me at this moment, my children are still young. People tell me that when they reach secondary school, they will not listen to me anymore. But we must seek wisdom. Some parents, even if they say something wrong, they just find a lot of excuses. But as a parent, if you really say something wrong, you must confess to your children, you know, I've made the wrong decision. I maybe blame you wrongly. May God forgive you because forgive me because I'm also a weak person. Can you have that kind of a tone to speak to your children? A free person will be able to do that, but someone who lacks freedom will not be able to confess their wrong to their children. So we must seek the freedom that comes from the truth. Now finally, we talk about what we should do. So we will want to share the gospel with others. This is the great commission that God has given us. Now, the freedom is not meant to indulge ourselves, but God gave us freedom so that we can share the gospel with others. Two kinds of people we can share the gospel with. One is sharing the gospel with non-believers. Of course, we know that we need to spread and evangelize with non-believers. So some reminders here. We need to ponder, what do non-believers dislike most about believers? I'm not teaching you how to evangelize, but I just want to remind you to reflect, what do non-believers dislike most about believers? Some believers, when they see people, they just keep saying that God loves you, and they attribute everything to God. But to the recipients, they find it meaningless. For example, now, if your family member keep telling you the Buddha will bless you, Buddha will provide everything for you, I'm not telling you not to evangelize. But you must think from the other person's perspective. If they tell you everything, if people they keep telling you things that clashes with your ideals and beliefs, will it make you uncomfortable? And non-believers also hate it when Christians say one thing and behave another way. So this is where we need to be mindful. There was a very good friend when I was young. So when people evangelize to him, the first statement was the person say is, This is what you worship is an idol. And so he's greatly offended. So because of this, for their whole life, they dislike Christians. So when we evangelize, are we overzealous? Or does our family member understand our circumstance? They understand us a lot. Will we be, in their eyes, someone who do one thing and say one thing? Some people even tell me that Christian boss are more fussy than non-believer boss. So, sometimes we must think through all this. So we must think about our words and our actions. I'm not trying to make you afraid of evangelizing. God instructs us to share the gospel, but we know that there is indeed the presence of Satan in this world. So the Bible tells us that there are enemies of the Christ, of Christ. So John chapter 15, verse 18, it tells us, before the world hates us, it hated Christ first. So if you are a disciple of Christ and you are following God, you must know that the world, because it hated Christ, it will hate us. Now, if you are gracious to people, they may not attribute it to God. But if you have done anything wrong, they may attribute it to God. So we must seek wisdom to live with people. Now, some people, they are very hardened. They dislike Christians. So all the more you need to seek wisdom and gentleness and love, and use your gentleness and love and patience to transform them so that they realize that God is indeed love. If there are any problem, you'll be the first to help them. Are you willing to do that? Maybe in the family, there's a 5 or 6 siblings. If the one of the sisters had problem, can you be the first to volunteer help? So evangelism means you need to offer practical help. And sometimes in some special circumstances, when people are severely ill, you have to directly tell them earnestly with love. So it's for us to be mindful when I mention this. Second, I also talk about sharing the gospel with believers. Of course, true believers will have heard the gospel and they will have belief in God and Christ. But when I talk about sharing the gospel with believers, it's about helping the believers to have a closer relationship with God. Today, there are many churches and believers, but we are not sure how many believers are willing to live for God in everything. And they are truly a disciple of God. And they only come to church on Sunday, but the rest of the time, they are their own masters. So we have to observe ourselves. Many believers, they have serving in the church. But he is no different from the people of the world. Or some people, they come to church just to receive God's blessings and grace. But how many of them are truly willing to carry their own cross to follow God? We are not saying that we are proud because we are following God and then we just accuse other people. No, that's not the way. But God's teaching is, the more we know about God, the more we should be humble. But we need to be mindful about our own life. Whether our life has fallen into such traps. So another practical example. Before I become a full-time staff in church, I work in a shipyard. Every year, Chinese New Year, our colleagues will try to buy the total grand prize, to win the grand prize. And there'll be some Chinese New Year celebration. Of course, I will not participate with them in sharing to buy the total. But I saw some Christians joining in. So in the shipyard, during the Hungry Ghost festivals, and they have all the pails with food products. So this is a very common sight in the shipyard because there's a lot of accidents in the shipyard. So they will invite the priest, the Taoist priest or whoever, to perform some rites at the shipyards. This is very common. But I saw Christians, you know, although the Christians didn't worship the foreign gods, the Christians contribute to money to fund this kind of events. So we have to think whether this is a good thing to do. So we have to think, you know, people will see this as a gesture that Christians can also support such events. I mean, of course, we should be a team player, but some things we must not be involved. So we have to face God on our own and wrestle with God on our own. So if there are such Christians around us, we must pray for them and share the gospel with them. Because the gospel can save them, liberate them, and help them be closer to God. If you think that they are already Christians, don't say so much to them. It may spoil relationship. Yet you must live well before God. So today's theme is know the truth and you'll be set free. And the free is not for you to indulge yourself, but for you to think about what you should do, what you shouldn't be doing. So that's the message for you today. Now let's all pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for giving us your important word today. Although your child may not be able to express your word clearly, but Lord, please work in your own ways, in the hearts of your children, to speak to them. Lord, we thank you that we know the truth, and we know the truth can set us free. And we know that we can do everything, but as we do everything, we must ponder whether what we do will offend people, will stumble people, or will edify people. Lord, please give us the wisdom. Please also give us this self-examination heart, so that in our circumstances, we will ponder about your guidance. Lord, please bless everyone who comes before you to worship you today, and those who still don't know you, our family, our relatives. Lord, please guide them also, so that as we leave this place, we will all receive certain insights, so that your grace remains in our life. Lord, please bless this fellowship. We thank you, God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.